Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Arca Continental conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note that this call is being recorded. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn it over to Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining the senior management team of Arca Continental to review their results for the fourth quarter and the full year of 2016. We sent the earnings release out this morning, and the long version is available on the company website, as usual, at arcacontal.com. This call is also being transmitted via webcast, and you can listen to the replay of the call via the webcast as well. It's my pleasure to introduce our speakers. Joining us from Monterrey are Mr. Francisco Garza Egloff, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Gutierrez, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Emilio Marcos, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manuel Gutierrez, Director of Corporate Planning, as well as the Investor Relations team. And then at this time, I'll turn the call over for the opening remarks to our CEO, Francisco Garza Egloff, to begin. So please go ahead, Pancho.
Yes, thank you, Melanie, and good morning, and thank you, everyone. We appreciate you joining us today to discuss our fourth quarter and full year 2016 results, as well as our outlook for what we believe will turn out to be a strategically landmark year 2017. Let me begin by saying that I am very pleased to report that our company delivered solid fourth quarter and full year results. Despite a challenging year for our consumer product companies in Latin America, we closed 2016 with several positive milestones and achievements. Total consolidated volume grew 2% in the quarter and 18% for the full year to reach more than 1.7 billion unit cases. Once again, we led industry growth and expanded our volume and value share in non-alcoholic ready-to-drink beverages. Total consolidated revenues increased 11% in the fourth quarter and 23% for the full year, reaching record sales of close to 94 billion pesos as we selectively adjusted prices in line with or above inflation across all our markets. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter increased 9%, making this the 23rd consecutive quarter of EBITDA growth since the merger of Arca Continental, which is the result of our deep customer orientation and our relentless pursuit of efficiencies and synergies. Now, let me take you through some of our major achievements and highlights for the year. Beginning with Peru, where we expanded our EBITDA margin from 16% when we started this operation to 20% by year's end 2016, we were able to achieve this outstanding result through three key factors. First, the rollout of our best-in-class commercial model. Second, the implementation of our disciplined value creation program. And third, which is the most important, the full commitment of our highly motivated team in Peru. Notably, in 2016, we reached $40 million in annualized running rate synergies, which is 60% above the target we originally set when we entered the Peruvian market. Also, in ACLINDE, we reduced exposure to foreign exchange from U.S. dollar-denominated debt by approximately 70% through a $200 million repurchase of its outstanding senior notes, which in fact is a reduction in debt, and additional currency hedges for $130 million. Because of these important achievements, S&P and Fitch upgraded ACLINDE's long-term ratings by two notches, which raised its credit profile to investment grade within the global corporate scale. Let me spend now a few moments talking about Argentina and Ecuador. In both countries, we face many challenges, macroeconomic factors, and weaker consumption that affected our volumes. Regarding Argentina, the downturn due to a transition to an open market economy significantly impacted consumption in general. However, by the end of last year, we began to see a turnaround in volume. We capitalized on our strong product portfolio and selective pricing initiatives to drive affordability and mitigate the impact of inflation there. In Ecuador, we faced the full impact of the new tax that was imposed on sugar beverages, and also the effect of contraction in private consumption resulting from several austerity measures. However, we put in place also a disciplined cost optimization plan and expanded our portfolio of beverages, focusing on affordability and packaging innovation. As in other cases in the past, where we have experienced similar slowdowns, we streamlined costs and operations and reinforce our revenue management strategies to offer consumer attractive price package combinations and to ensure product affordability. Notwithstanding the challenges that we face in Argentina and Ecuador, we were able to sustain overall profitability in both countries throughout the year, while gaining value and volume share across all our beverages categories. Last year, we made strategic investments in these key markets to underscore the long-term opportunities we envision, so we will be better positioned to take advantage of the future market recovery. As an example, we acquired a sugar mill in Tucumán, precisely where one of our major bottling plants is located. And also in Guayaquil, we began operation in Tonicorp's new state-of-the-art dairy plant to expand its production capacity and product portfolio. Turning now to our flagship market in Mexico, we delivered exceptional annual volume growth and posted solid top and bottom line results. In the sparkling category, we grew high single digits, well above the industry average, cycling a solid growth in the previous year, reinforcing an excellent position that we have in these territories. In addition, last year, we reaffirmed our leading position in stills, where we command a number one or number two leadership in most key categories. Let's say like juices, drink, ready-to-drink tea, isotonics, and water, among others. We are also rapidly building a strong value-added dairy business and accelerating growth in market share in this category. We continue expanding our product portfolio with the launch of Monster Energy drinks and leverage our distribution and execution capabilities in this market. In another significant milestone, we completed the transfer of the rights of legendary Topo Chico brand in Mexico to the Coca-Cola Company. As announced, this agreement allowed us to expand distribution of Topo Chico's products to all our territories in Mexico and generated important incremental sales volume in this and the mineral water category. In sport drinks, Powerade solidified its market leadership across all channels and all our territories, thanks to our execution capabilities, superior quality, and ongoing product innovation. Moving on to our complementary business, we continue gaining scale and developing a solid foundation for growth. In snacks, we strengthened production capabilities in Wise with the opening of our plant in Forward. In bocados, we expanded distribution routes in new territories as we deploy an aggressive plan to expand our market presence and become a national brand in Mexico in the next coming years. Our vending machine business, another key part of our value-added retail strategy, we grew volume, sales, and transactions, and continued their upward trend supported by an enhanced information technology platform, which we are applying, for instance, in Peru also, in which we are also investing aggressively in vending machine business. Finally, there is nothing more valuable than recognition coming from our customers, where we were honored by Walmart when we received the top award in several categories. Among them, we obtained the Best Overall Performance Award. We also received HEB's award as the top strategic partner for 2016. We are thankful to both of them for these honors, and we are fully committed to continue working hard to serve better every day all of our customers. Let me now move to our recent breakthrough announcement, confirming Arca Continental's participation in the Coca-Cola system in the U.S. As we announced on February 8th, we reached a definitive agreement with the Coca-Cola Company to become the sole franchise bottler of the U.S. Southwest region, comprised of Texas and parts of Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Arkansas. This territory includes 9 production facilities and 34 distribution centers, serving a market over 30 million consumers. At Arca Continental, we are proud and honored to have been selected by the Coca-Cola Company to collaborate in their transformation of the U.S. bottling system. It reinforces our commitment to serve our customers and consumers everywhere through a stronger system alignment. The U.S. Southwest Territory is one of the most relevant in the U.S. Coca-Cola system in terms of size, market dynamics, and growth potential. Its market leadership and profitability reflect the talents and commitment of its management team and associates. Since signing the definitive agreement last month, we announced the date of our shareholders' meeting. We filed for customary regulatory approvals, and we released the information memorandum describing the transaction, which remained on track to close in the second quarter of this year. A dedicated team of experienced executives from the Coca-Cola Company, CCR, and Arca Continental are working diligently to ensure a timely and seamless transition. In parallel, we have been working to confirm the value creation opportunities identified initially, where we can make a significant contribution in the short and the mid-term. We expect to realize annualized synergies of approximately $60 to $80 million within a 3-year period after closing. As we have done in other transactions, we plan to combine our best practices in market execution through our commercial model act, enhance process innovation and packaging, optimize our supply chain to reduce costs and procurement of raw materials, among other actions to improve. Let me reemphasize that we believe that for Arca Continental, this is a transformational and highly value-accretive transaction with an implied valuation multiple below our current one. Our total revenues will increase around 47% and our EBITDA 30% on a pro forma basis. This is really an excellent opportunity to increase shareholder value while further diversifying and improve our geographical presence in the Americas. With this, I will now turn the call over to Arturo to take you through more of the details of the performance of our operations. Please, Arturo, this account.
Thank you, Pancho, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Let me expand on the results across our geographies. I will begin with North America, where we continue to demonstrate the resilience of our beverage business in Mexico. We maintain the positive momentum, delivering yet another quarter of solid volume growth, up 6%, not including jug water, cycling a 7.1% from the fourth quarter in 2015. Notably, we have achieved annual volume growth of 9%. These outstanding results were driven by superior market execution as we consistently rolled out our ACT commercial model across all territories with the benefit of the strong consumer environment. In the fourth quarter, we further strengthened our leadership position as we gained both volume and value share in non-alcoholic ready-to-drink beverages, driven by growth in sparkling with 5.1% and 11.7% in bottled water. This quarter was also exceptional for the stills beverage category in Mexico, up 13.6%. Total revenues in North America rose 12.5% in the quarter to reach 14.3 billion pesos. Average price per case in Mexico, not including jug water, rose 6.8%, reaching 52.48 pesos, sustained by our disciplined segmentation, revenue management, and affordability strategies. These top-line results underscore our ability to leverage our occasion brand price back and channel architecture. They are also a result of our capacity to drive performance, improve transactions, and simultaneously enhance price mix. The case of Mexico, with a 9.2% increase in volume, is proof that even in mature markets with a high per capita consumption and a leading position in the market, extraordinary growth can be achieved through the deployment of capabilities and a consistent operating discipline based on processes that Arca Continental has been developing throughout the years. This outstanding growth in our Mexican beverage territories underscores the potential of our business and motivates us to continue setting ambitious long-term goals in all our markets. EBITDA in North America increased 6.2% to 2.9 billion pesos in the fourth quarter, representing a margin of 20%, a moderate contraction of 110 basis points due to increases in key inputs and foreign exchange rate volatility. We continue improving profitability driven by selective price increases, targeted market initiatives to boost immediate consumption, and investment in coolers. During last year, we introduced over 45,000 units to increase cooler coverage to 83%, one of the highest in the global Coca-Cola system. During the fourth quarter, our sparkling water segment grew 15%, driven by Topo Chico sales. We are now able to distribute Topo Chico across all our franchise territories and capitalize on the strong brand equity developed in the north of Mexico throughout its 122-year history. Exports of Topo Chico delivered another quarter of solid growth, up 22% in the fourth quarter as we expanded product coverage at mainstream stores supported by holiday promotional campaigns. During the quarter, we launched new Topo Chico product extensions in the Twist line, lime and grapefruit flavors in several presentations. We continued pursuing innovation across the value chain, particularly in our direct-to-home channel. In the fourth quarter, we launched a new mobile app, expanded internet sales, and introduced credit card payments to provide our customers and consumers with more flexible ways to purchase our products. 2016 was a positive year for the vending machine business. Volume in this beverage segment in the fourth quarter posted high single-digit growth, and the snacks unit delivered mid-single-digit growth as we capitalized our productivity improvements. Notably, we expanded coverage of units with wireless capabilities. This proprietary technology provides remote inventory management and allows us to optimize distribution costs and to significantly reduce stockouts. The launch of Monster Energy also drove incremental sales in the energy drinks category with over 80% growth in 2016. Shifting gears to South America, volume in the fourth quarter declined 3.9%, driven by volume drops in Argentina and Ecuador, partially offset by growth in Peru. Total revenues increased 9% in the quarter, reaching 10.6 billion pesos. On the profitability front, EBITDA in South America rose to 12.4% to 2.3 billion pesos for the quarter, representing a margin of 21.8%, an expansion of 70 basis points. In Argentina, volume in the fourth quarter declined 6.4%. Volume continued to improve gradually from the second and third quarters when the decline was 15.7% and 8.5% respectively. These results were sustained by our improved point-of-sale execution, focusing on returnable formats and expanded cooler coverage. Our revenue management initiatives enabled us to selectively increase prices to compensate for high inflation rates, while offering our customers with affordable packages at key price points. We will continue expanding our sparkling flavor portfolio with Fanta, Sprite, and Crush to compete effectively in this segment. This quarter, once again, we gained market share in the sparkling beverage category. It is important to note the significant headway we have made in stills beverages. In 2016, we continued achieving share gains in juices, isotonics, and bottled water categories. Moreover, we are finalizing with preparations to modernize and equip the production facilities of the cane sugar mill acquired in the province of Tucumán last year. This production unit will give us access to 100,000 tons of sugar per year and will secure all of our needs of this key input at very competitive prices. We are taking steps to deploy the ACT execution model across our operations in South America. ACT aligns all our market initiatives into one model to achieve flawless execution by focusing in core processes such as segmentation, revenue management, route to market, fundamentals, and market tools. We are convinced that the targeted investments we made in the last few years put us in a privileged position to capitalize on the opportunities that the market recovery will present as the economy bounces back and lower inflation supports private consumption. Now, in Ecuador, volume was down 12.7% in the fourth quarter. Despite the adverse macroeconomic situation, the impact of the new tax imposed on sugar beverages, and the resulting slowdown in consumption, we continued gaining market share across all non-alcoholic ready-to-drink categories. Similar to what we did in Mexico with the excise tax in 2014, we made a comprehensive review of our price pack architecture. We're focusing on affordability of our products tied to price points in key entry packages, such as 25, 35, and 50 cents. We also doubled down on point-of-sale execution and continued investing in the market while driving innovation, reformulating products to offer more low-calorie or zero-calorie options. We're confident that we have the right strategies to resume profitable growth in this important market. Tonicorp, our value-added dairy business in Ecuador, jointly owned with the Coca-Cola Company, has also resented the slowdown of the Ecuadorian economy. The dairy industry in the country as a whole reported double-digit revenue declines, while Tonicorp posted a low single-digit drop. We have achieved important market share gains across all categories in which Tonicorp participates, driven by our focus on point-of-sale execution, customer base expansion, and product affordability. Furthermore, we captured additional synergies among our dairy, beverage, and snack businesses by leveraging distribution centers and expanding cross-selling opportunities. We began 2017 with the full operation of our new dairy plant in Guayaquil. This state-of-the-art facility allows significant operational efficiencies by centralizing our production capabilities. It also gives us access to broader opportunities to accelerate our innovation pipeline and to expand our value-added dairy portfolio. Moving on to Peru, in the fourth quarter, volume grew 2%, reversing the negative trend, mainly driven by better execution at the point of sale. Growth was led by water category up 9.3%, still beverages 3.8%, and sparkling 1.6%. Volume for the year grew 2.6%, reaching 300 million unit cases, cycling 4% growth in 2015. Net sales increased 4.5% in the quarter, cycling 6.4% in the same period in 2015. For the full year, net revenues grew 8.5% as we implemented selective price increases across our portfolio. Our top priority will be to continue serving our customers while protecting margins through a flexible price package architecture, improving affordability via returnable presentations, and accelerating growth in the non-calorie beverage categories. Let me take a brief moment to talk about the progress of our synergy plan in Peru. I am very pleased to report that our team has diligently delivered $40 million in annualized running rate synergies. We deployed a comprehensive program and accelerated our productivity efforts across the value chain. To mention a few key initiatives, we leveraged scale with key suppliers to obtain better pricing in raw materials. We reduced overall production waste. We optimized lightweight packaging and enhanced inline blowing. We consolidated administrative processes and back office functions, and we exchanged best commercial practices to strengthen RGM and low-cost service models. It is important to mention that the program was accomplished without disrupting our operations. We have been careful and prudent to implement planned synergies while remaining focused on serving our customers and consumers with excellence. We are ready to accelerate the pace to achieve additional value creation opportunities in 2017, particularly in supply chain. We will optimize our warehouse infrastructure while increasing our own sales force and distribution capabilities. We are confident that the combination of economic modernization, natural resource abundance, and continued improvements in economic governance and political stability that have been taking place are helping Peru to emerge as one of the most stable economies in Latin America. Let me finish our operations review with our snack business consisting of Bocados in Mexico, Wise Foods in the U.S., and Inalexa in Ecuador. Bocados posted solid top and bottom line results in 2016, delivering high single-digit sales growth despite the challenging macroeconomic environment and foreign exchange rate volatility in Mexico in the latter part of the year. Bocados continued its sequential growth trend as we improved point-of-sale execution, capturing additional market share and expanding our geographical footprint. As part of this strategy, we announced last month the start of construction of a new plant in Querétaro. This facility will begin production by the end of March. This $14 million investment underscores our commitment to expand penetration of Bocados outside of our Coke bottling territories into the central and southwest southern regions of Mexico, while generating significant efficiencies in logistics and distribution costs. We're moving rapidly to expand our coverage to new territories through the relationship with our business partner, Galletas Donde, in the southeast Mexican region, and the deployment of new distribution routes of Bocados in territories such as Zacatecas and Durango. Wise, our snack business in the U.S., posted a low single-digit decline in revenue in the quarter and the full year due to high retailer volatility, competitive pressures, and operational challenges. Product innovation continued as one of our top priorities. In the fourth quarter, new flavors of crunchy cheese doodles were launched, which will help us expand market share in the up-and-down-the-street channel. We will continue investing in our brands and products through consumer promotions, innovation, and programs targeting younger millennial consumers, as well as new partnerships and sponsorships. Our innovation center in Atlanta, our renovated plant in Berwick, and our new state-of-the-art production facility in Fort Worth are the pillars of our product portfolio and geographic expansion strategy. Wise increased distribution by adding over 1,900 new points of sale for our brands Wise and Si Señor. New Wise customers included distribution in Delta Airlines, 7-Eleven, Getco, and Stewart's stores, among others. Furthermore, we will continue strengthening our ability to leverage relationships with regional chains to deliver cross-promotion programs between the Wise and Coca-Cola portfolios, particularly in the U.S. Southwest territory. Finally, in Alexa, our snack business in Ecuador posted single-digit revenue declines in both the quarter and the full year, impacted by the lingering economic weakness. Nonetheless, the pace of contraction eased in the latter part of 2016. Despite these headwinds, Inalexa continued leveraging its strong brand equity and winning volume and value share in the salty snack category. Tactical commercial initiatives in our major brands, Tortolines, Tostitos, Riscos, and Nachos, were combined with cross-promotions with Coca-Cola in the modern channel. In the last quarter of 2016, we started participating in the bakery segment with the introduction of our Pan de Pascua, rapidly capturing a relevant share in our first year participating in this category. I will now turn the call to Emilio to provide you with more details on our financial results.
Thank you, Arturo. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to review Arca Continental's performance and financial results for the fourth quarter and full year 2016. In 2016, Arca Continental remained one of the most profitable bottlers in the Coca-Cola system, despite a challenging year with the economic slowdown affecting some of our operations, coupled with exchange rate volatility and political noise. Nevertheless, our positive results were driven by dynamic market execution, combined with an important effort in efficiency plans in Mexico, Ecuador, and Argentina. In our first year in Peru, we accomplished our synergy goal, resulting in more than 200 basis points margin expansion. This fourth quarter was no exception, as the consolidated revenues increased 11% for the 3 months and 22.5% for the 12 months of 2016, thanks to our price architecture capabilities and strong volume performance in Mexico and Peru, offset by negative volumes in Argentina and Ecuador. Net revenues on a comparable currency neutral basis in the quarter increased 9.8% and full year 2016, excluding Peru, 11%. In North America, the solid volume growth and price mix were the main drivers for revenue growth of 12.5% in the quarter and 13.8% full year. South America increased sales 9% in the fourth quarter and 39.3% in 2016. For the quarter, cost of goods sold increased 14.2% as a result of higher dollar exchange rate and an increase in sugar prices in Mexico and Peru. For 2016, cost of goods sold rose 26.1% and 9.8% without Peru, diluting the contribution margin by 150 basis points. SG&A expenses were up 6.91% in the quarter, reflecting a more efficient structure at 32.3% over sales compared to 33.8% in the same period of last year. These benefits came from the efficiency plans taking place in our operations, partially offsetting the impact of higher raw material prices. The same benefit applies for the full year, reaching 31.2% over sales from 32% in 2015. Our operating margin improved both in the quarter and for the full year. We reported a 15.4% operating margin in the quarter, a 40 basis points expansion. For the year, the margin was 17.4%, up 70 basis points, explained by the Topo Chico transaction announced in the third quarter. Consolidated EBITDA reached 5.2 billion pesos, up 9% over the fourth quarter 2015, with a margin of 20.7%. In 2016, EBITDA reached 20.1 billion pesos, a 20.3% increase, reflecting a 40 basis points margin dilution to reach 21.5%. Comparable currency neutral EBITDA increased 7.7% in the quarter and 10.2% for the year without Peru. Income tax provision for the quarter increased to 1.1 billion from 713 million pesos in the same period of 2015. Effective tax rate for the quarter was 32% when compared to 28.8% last year. We closed 2016 with an effective tax rate of 30.6% in line with previous year. In the fourth quarter, the comprehensive cost of financing was down 34.2% as we successfully reduced the exposed debt from 1.2 billion on December 2015 to only 380 million at year-end, generating less exchange losses than the same period of last year. Net income increased 16.7% to reach 1.9 billion pesos in the fourth quarter, representing a margin of 7.8%, higher than fourth quarter 2015. Full year net income rose to 9 billion pesos, a 24.7% increase for a margin of 9.6%. Our CAPEX for the full year reached 7.4 billion pesos. We closed the year with a cash position of 5.5 billion pesos and a net debt of 25.6 billion pesos, meaning a 1.3 times net debt to EBITDA coverage ratio as a consequence of Arca Continental's deleverage plan. In 2016, we reached 17.1 billion pesos of cash flow generation, 48% more than 2015. The efforts done last year will allow us to better face the volatility in the exchange rate and higher raw material prices, continue looking for new value growth opportunities in Peru, and work on our market execution as we expect the consumption recovery in Ecuador and Argentina. Furthermore, we'll begin during the second quarter the integration of the U.S. operations, which will bring a greater geographical footprint and hard currency diversification to ensure the profitable growth momentum of Arca Continental. I will now turn things back to Pancho.
Thank you, Emilio. Now, just let's take just the guidance for 2017 in our current operations. We expect consolidated annual volume to grow around 2.5%. And, of course, we will selectively adjust prices also to at least recover inflation in each of the countries in which we participate. So we are always ensuring that our products remain affordable and competitive, so we will do the right strategy in that regard, but we will increase in prices at least with inflation, but most probably more. In 2017, the capital expenditures are expected to be approximately 6 to 7% of total sales. as we have always done. We will follow a disciplined approach to invest in production capacity in Mexico and logistics in Peru, as well as in the marketplace, including coolers, vending machines, and technology. On the commodities front, we will continue capitalizing from our vertical integration in Piazza, the sugar mills in Mexico, and the recently acquired Plan de San Luis sugar mill in Mexico. And as Arturo mentioned, we also expect to benefit from the upcoming integration of the sugar mill acquired in Argentina last year. In conclusion, we reaffirm our commitment to pursue opportunities to create value for our shareholders. Our solid financial position and our firm dedication to adapting to the dynamic needs of our customers and consumers are the platform on which we will continue to find avenues for growth in the beverage sector while we continue expanding our complementary business. Regarding our long-term growth plans and in line with our commitment to create value, this year, I mean 2017, we will exceed the revenue target of 100 billion set 5 years ago in a profitable and sustainable manner. This is, of course, without considering the revenue from the new operations in the U.S. coming. We intend to sustain our growth momentum and continue doubling the size of the company every 5 years, as we have done since 2002. Always, of course, creating value to all our stakeholders. Again, thank you for your support and confidence. And operator, please open the calls for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and if you wish to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may do so by dialing star 2. We ask that you limit yourself to one question at a time so we may get through the queue. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Lauren Torres with UBS.
Yes, hi, good morning.
My question is
a somewhat general question, I guess, on Mexico, Pancho, to get your perspective on the consumer. You know, I'd say you're coming off of two exceptional years of growth, and this year we are hearing about a slowdown. You know, at the consumer level, you're seeing the effects of the weaker peso. So curious, you know, in light of this, you know, we saw some margin pressure last year. You know, if there's the ability to protect or grow margins this year, or is it just more of a story of diversification? So with the U.S., on a consolidated basis, we'll see progression, but in Mexico, it will be a tougher year. Just curious for your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Lauren, good morning, and thank you for your question. It's really very interesting. You know that first of all, I want to say that the starting of this year has been good, I mean, in Mexico. I mean, also in Argentina and other countries, but talking about Mexico precisely, I mean, it's been good. January and February, they're still moving well. And that's what I can hear also from other consumer companies in Mexico. So consumption is relatively in very good shape, I would say. On the other hand, what I can tell you that through the year, it is clear that, as you mentioned, I mean, there are some issues, especially in investment, probably will not be, I mean, I'm sure will not be the same as used to be coming from the foreigners. But what is clear is that other factors are somehow compensating very well up to now, and I have the perception that we'll work on a positive side. Why? Because, the case of remittances, for instance. Remittances, as you know, it's grown and about 9 or 10%, and if you multiply by exchange rate, which is higher than used to be, it means more pesos for those that will receive the remittances, no? And we have some of our territories in Mexico in which we have that. On the other hand, also another factor is tourists still moving quite well, and with the cost of hotels and food and so on in Mexico, which at this time we are really, I think, undervalued in general. I mean, I'm sure that the tourists will continue to grow faster because it's really very, very cheap, traveling to Mexico in general. No? So there are other positive factors I can mention, but it's important to say that up to now we have not seen anything that we can tell you that there is some sign of reduction in volume for the time being. And I hope that through the year, with those positive factors, the economy will be affected, but less affected because of the positive factors that I mentioned. Yeah, longer term, we have to see. We have to see what is going to happen, no? But certainly we feel quite strong and because of course our team, our products, brands, and so on, and very well positioned to overcome any challenges as we have done through all these 91 years in this business or more. So we are well accustomed to really drive through this kind of challenges, no? But again, summarizing, I don't see any reduction in jobs at this time. On the contrary, jobs are growing, and the last number we have mentioned. By the way, we have several plants at the border in cities like Piedras Negras or Monclova or Juarez. I mean, it's very difficult to get people, very, very difficult to get people. I mean, we need to really start paying even more than the general salaries increase because we need to really be competitive in those specific areas. So it means it's really, demand is very high in that market. So we have faced, I can tell you, a turnover of people on those locations. So we are working hard with our human resources team to get a more stable situation because, I mean, definitely there is a huge demand on trained people, good people, and certainly we have good people, you know? So we need to take care of that. So in general, we don't see any major issue up to now, at least in our markets and territories. And through the year, whatever will happen, we hope that not only because of the positive factors I mentioned, like tourism remittances or all other things, no matter about that, we have the strengths and the products and resources and technology, and most importantly, the people, to overcome those challenges for sure. I don't know if that answers the...
It does. I would just say the kind of the last part of that was, you know, in light of those comments, could you or would you be able to still protect margins, you know, with the currency the way...
Yes. I mean, well, again, I can tell you that obviously January was a little bit challenging in that regard because, I mean, we did not see or we didn't foresee the huge impact on the exchange rate especially. But then we react and we accommodate the structure of products, prices, and so on. So I can tell you that in the end of January, we made an increase in prices at the end of November, okay? But not enough to do these unexpected things, no? So in exchange rate. So we were able to move again prices to really face these issues of not only the devaluation, but the prices increases in fuels. And we accommodate that to have to recover the margin again. It's not all, practically all. It's a matter of time. But we don't foresee any major issue in that regard. We will recover the margin in our opinion. If not all, most of it. Eh? I mean, in terms of percentage, in terms of absolute numbers, of course, we will recover everything and more, no? You know? But percentage-wise in margin, it will be probably recovered most of it.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Isabella Simonato with Bank of America.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pancho, Arturo. I have a question in the U.S. I understood you released yesterday more details about the transaction, and if you could elaborate to us or give us more color, where do you see volume growth potential based on the revenue management initiatives that you plan to do in the region? Don't know if you can already talk about that. And second, regarding your volume growth, consolidated volume growth forecast for 2017, if you could give us a breakdown per country, where do you see volume growth in each of the regions? Thank you.
Thank you, Isabella. I will ask Arturo to comment on your question. Please, Arturo, regarding the volumes in everywhere.
Well, first, in terms of the guidance that we've given for 2017, Eva has spoken about around 2.5 growth in volume throughout the year. And obviously, it's going to be different across countries. We have not provided a detailed breakdown of that guidance, but we can tell you in general terms. We expect, as Pancho was saying a moment ago, to continue to have a good momentum in Mexico and continue to grow our volumes, as has been shown by the first month of the year, month and a half of the year. We hope to continue that trend. We know that the second half of the year in Mexico might be a little more challenging, but also we have learned to identify what are the key factors that would be driving growth aside from the issues that are beyond our control, and we are working in improving those KPIs which are clearly identifiable for us right now. With respect to South American countries, I think the biggest challenge will continue to be Ecuador, where we are still having the comparison with the period previous to the imposition of the tax. So the first quarter of the year is going to be very challenging in terms of the comps in volume for Ecuador. But at the same time, we have been improving our profitability in Ecuador based on all the actions that we've taken, both from the savings in general terms of SG&A and also increasing the gross margin of the products based on our revenue management strategy. So I would say Ecuador would be the most challenging. In Argentina, we're seeing some improvement this start of the year. So we are positive on Argentina. We believe that the macroeconomic environment of that country is going to continue to improve. So that is another of our units that will be contributing to growth. Same thing as Peru. We believe Peru to be probably the country in which we're going to achieve the highest volume growth, maybe between Mexico and Peru, I guess. But Peru is where we have the target for growth that is the highest among our operations. So that would be just general comments about, the breakdown of our volume. In terms of the U.S., we have not provided, and we're not in a position right now to provide specific guidance about, U.S. growth or U.S. business plan. We have an environment in the U.S. that's pretty stable in terms of growth. We know we can contribute increase the pace of growth in all categories in the U.S., and we've identified in concept many of the initiatives that we're going to pursue, both in revenue management, in execution. It would be basically the deployment of our Arca Continental Act model, as you know. There's a huge opportunity with Topo Chico, for example, in the U.S. that would be a significant source of growth, as you know, because of its presence in the state of Texas. But we're not in a position to provide a specific guidance about the U.S. At this point.
And furthermore, just to add something, if you allow me, Arturo, you have seen we understand there are differences in markets, of course, but I think we can add strengths with a great team and talented people that there is in the southwest territories of Coca-Cola in the U.S. So I think that we can combine really very good strengths to continue improving, especially, for instance, isotonics. I mean, you have seen what we have done in Mexico. So, I mean, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, we were having just 10-15% market share. And this time, in isotonics, we have, I don't know, 60% plus. So the point is that it has to be obviously a well-disciplined system. It's not one day to another. But there are opportunities to increase a share position, a market share position there for sure. So that will be a source of growth for sure. And the transactions, we are going to dedicate more to more packages. And that's something that we are willing to work together with Coca-Cola, of course, to develop additionally more packages and new categories to put there so we can improve that situation. But as Arturo mentioned, is to, at this time we are limited to give a specific information on this guidance for U.S. Thank you for this.
Perfect. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, Pancho and team. I also have a question on Texas. Please let me know if there are portions of it that you cannot answer. But you mentioned these synergies guidance, and you've mentioned before some opportunities like lightweighting the bottles, et cetera. So I wanted to reconcile if you can, now that you put out a formal number, give us a little bit more specifics as to where are these synergies coming from, which are the main buckets. And also, now that the transaction has closed, can you let us know what is the structure of the team that you're thinking of? Have you appointed a country head, or how are you foreseeing the integration between the talent that was already there and obviously Arca's capabilities as well?
Okay, thank you very much, Antonio. It was always good to talk with you. I just want to mention thank you, Antonio. So to mention that we already have the right person, by the way, who was running that operation. As I mentioned before, we have found, we are very fortunate to found very good team and associates there. But the leading team, it's been great. So we've been working with them in the last 6-7 months, developing the transition and all this process accordingly to the rules of Coca-Cola establishing this kind of agreements. And so we have had the opportunity to know them very well. So we decided to appoint the person that was in charge of that is in charge at this time in this operation. But now, once we take over on this, he will work for us. It's been already agreed on this, and it's a person called Mark Chorman, great guy. And so we are committed and establishing targets and so on. And then we will combine some people. Most of the people will be, as always, you know, as we did in Peru or in Argentina and other places. I mean, the people that is there is the one that really takes the roles. I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, we are going to share, to put some key people in the capabilities, especially in the ACT model that we have, which is the execution in the market for the whole rules of segmentation, revenue growth management, route to market, fundamentals, innovation, all these kind of processes that most probably you have known very well already. And so we will put some key people there. And also in the supply chain around to in agreement with Mark and Arturo, of course, who is leading this process. So we will have the right structure to move ahead together proactively. First of all, learning and exchanging the best practices, and later on to execute the avenues to create value, as always we have done in the past. And talking about the avenues of value, I mean, we cannot really be so specific at this time. What I can tell you that, one of the areas of opportunity is it's really lightweighting, but for instance also transportation of bottles, you know, it's been a huge cost there. Because, I mean, there are centralized manufacturing of bottles of PET, and then just to ship it to everywhere takes not only challenges in terms of cost, but also time and inventories and so on. So there is an opportunity not only in lightweighting, but the way the supply is done, and we have to restructure these kind of things. In fact, there is some already investments on the process and investment at this time for blowing machines in some of the facilities, which through this process we have agreed already. So it's in the process of installation of those investments that obviously we will absorb because we have a decision together, but it's going to be cash flow in the future for once we are there. So in general, the whole supply system for bottles could represent not only lightweighting, but the whole structure represents a huge opportunity, for sure. It will take time and some money, but I mean, we know how to do it, and they are happy to do it. But going to other series, as was mentioned also by Arturo, we will try to impulse much more Topo Chico. No? That's very important. I mean, by the way, very well-known brand in that territories. You know, Topo Chico is the leader mineral water from source in that region, above the other brands, even European brands, with the prices even above the European brands there imported. And so it's really a very important opportunity. And as I mentioned, some share in certain products. And then how we are going to manage that, well, price pack architecture, which, I mean, at this time, you know, the Coca-Cola team as well as the different bottlers are moving ahead on more packages and to increase their transactions and value share. And they've been doing through the last 2 years very well. We have to acknowledge that they are changing in that direction. No? And so we want to get in this market and enhance this process into what we really know, which is managing. I think we can contribute to manage a better price pack architecture with better segmentation in that direction. So we think we can increase value and transactions just with a much better, I mean, alternative that we have to show in that regard. No? And so other cost synergies around, of course, in terms of other aspects related to, energy and other areas that we know we have realized in the facilities. But in general, we feel quite comfortable that just sharing the best practices in market execution and the process innovation and packaging and optimize our supply chain to lower costs. And of course, the procurement of raw materials will bring the right number in that direction to accelerate the productivity efforts, but more importantly, the market position. That's what we know. Fortunately, as I mentioned, these territories, the Southwest territories, I think is the best, if not one of the best territories managed there in the U.S., among the Coca-Cola. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything wrong about the rest, but it's been a well-managed territory with good margins and market position, so good team, so we can combine and add strengths together to continue creating value as they have done, but now probably combining efforts to accelerate this process in all the aspects that we mentioned. Generally speaking, I mean, in the history, when we do some major acquisition in Mexico, then we are talking about 7 or 8% of synergies on the sales of the company that is merged or acquired. Mm-hmm. But if we if we talk about Latin America, we talk about 5.5%, no? But if we talk about U.S., in our opinion, could be around 3%, which is, I mean, 2.5 to 3.5. So that reason we calculate that, but we have been given the enough support to really specifically analyze the avenues that we can create value. So it's not the same with Latin America, because it's much more developed market and so on, and mature. It's not the same of that. And it's not the same of Mexico, of course, because in Mexico it's different. We have much more opportunity and other things. But there will be this 3% around, for sure, and according to what we have analyzed in the aspects that we already mentioned to you, we will find really very good surprises for all of us. Hmm?
That's great, Manuel. Thank you so much, Pancho.
Thank you, Antonio, again.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Benjamin Thurer with Barclays.
Hey, good morning, Pancho. First of all, congratulations for the results. Just a follow-up on the CapEx outlook, and as you mentioned, it's going to be very similar, 6 to 7% of sales. That's pretty straightforward. But now, considering that, you're expecting to close the transaction with the U.S. somewhere towards the mid-end of the second quarter, do you plan right away to spend a similar amount of CapEx in the U.S. For the second half of 2017 then onwards? And if you plan to invest into the facilities in the U.S., where would your focus be from a CapEx point of view? Thanks.
Oh, great question, Adami. Thank you for doing that. And it's good to talk with you. Yeah. Thank you for your congratulations. I appreciate it a lot. We still have a lot of things to do for you to continue moving ahead. Let me tell you, Benjamin, that as I mentioned to Antonio in the previous question, I mean, we have decided already with Coca-Cola during this period of discussions, 7 or 8 months for this transition, and transaction, but mainly transition, we have agreed already to have some investment in. For instance, in the IT, we have already changed, or we are in the process of changing everything through it's called CONA, Coca-Cola North America system. It's like the Coke one, but CONA there. So that is already an important investment that has been already approved by both, and we will pay for it because it's going to be really for our benefit. I mean, as we are going to become shareholders now. But also we have approved other investments regarding some of the equipment that is necessary to improve the efficiencies in certain areas, like the in blowing in some of the facilities that are going to be there soon or are already working and so on and so forth. For instance, all of palletizers, things which make sense to start moving in the process we were discussing, no? Systems and facilities and later on also we discussed some areas for new land or some areas in which there could be new facility. So because all of this, there is an investment that has been already approved, which probably will represent a peak in that investment because it's moving at this time. By the moment we enter, there will be some investment coming there, okay? But it's been a process to start really ourselves operating that much better position with systems and some efficiencies that can make sense since the very beginning, no? And so we make progress ahead of it. So, but a part of that, which obviously is been done since the last year, I mean, since we started discussions about June last year, October, this time, a part of that, we foresee really a number around this same 6 to 7%. I mean, the previous investment has been lower than that, so I can tell you that this 6-7% will be enough to keep really updating some of the infrastructure and especially market investment. So we think that there will be enough, let's say, resources for facing this, and we expect that beyond the peak that I mentioned that probably will come at the beginning, derived from the decisions that we made since June last year to be ready. The rest will be kept on this average process for several years, and later on will be lower. You know, I mean, we do not expect to have this 7% always. I mean, for U.S. is a high number, but probably will eventually go down to the 5s later. But the first years, for sure, will be in that level. Again, a peak early in the moment we start because of the previous decisions. Later on, 6 to 7%, and I don't know, 4 or 5 years later, will be going down to probably 5. So, in countries like Mexico, in which we have a higher growth and so on, it's, well, we need the 7%. But in the U.S., we don't need that 7%. We probably will need 4 to 5, let's say. But for certain years, we will be in the same level of Mexico or other countries in order to catch up some of the infrastructure and market needs that we need to reinforce together with the team of our friends there in the Southwest territories that we have been analyzing already. So that's more or less,
okay.
I don't know if that gives you a good flavor on this.
That's a pretty good one. And just for the sake of completion on that topic, I mean, if you're basically increasing CapEx in the U.S. where it seems that there was a little bit of an underinvestment in the past, with that massive amount, are there areas where you think just because of the size of investment you're doing, not only in the U.S. Coca-Cola system, but also in the Mexican and the South American system, that for some items that you might need that you can actually get better quotes for what you need at the facilities or on the infrastructure side, et cetera, so that you that part of the synergy is what we've just discussed on Antonio's question could come as well from better purchasing power on whatever CapEx might be needed.
Well, I mean, we definitely see other areas, as we mentioned to Antonio, and I want to reconfirm to you that and we are there to add value, of course, to add value, there is no doubt. So, and we have been proving to through the history that what we invest, I mean, we add value. I mean, and we add value first learning from what we have, first taking care of the talent that we have there, and joining forces, we create value. And first with the, obviously some hard synergies which are related to infrastructure or different processes to assure the supply chain in the best manner, which certainly has to be agreed with Coca-Cola because there is a national supply system that is already in place there. So, but beyond that, and assuming that obviously we will have the right approvals and so on, we will move in that direction, as I mentioned in the investment that I have made. I don't want to say that there has been underinvestment. I think we need to invest into a new opportunity we will find, you know, rather than, than telling you that there is a problem in the past, in my view, no? And, I mean, in all, some areas, of course, there is some investment needed, but most of the investment is for being in a better position. But regarding the other areas in which there could be synergies, we don't need too much investment. It's a matter of, as you said, negotiation of raw materials. I mean, and have a, there is some scale already through the Coca-Cola global system, but there are some other things that we are now in the process to provide a better cost on that. No? And other things related to the market really does not require investment. I mean, or minimum investment is just developing molds, packages, you know. While we have the flexibility in the infrastructure for blowing machines close to the facilities and et cetera, then it's a matter of how we can work together with Coca-Cola and, of course, the customers to look for a better, I mean, much more wider and broader scope in terms of packages. I mean, you need to have domino pieces to play with this, you know. I mean, to talk about segmentation, I mean, you need to have that. I mean, and prices and packages and products and of course investment in the market, which in this case, I mean, there is in place already a huge one, but we will optimize it. Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Robarts with Citigroup.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for taking the questions. Two things, please. I'd like to explore, first on sweetener and sugar in Mexico, and secondly, the synergies in Texas. I mean, the margin in Mexico, a little bit weaker than we thought in the fourth quarter. And I know there's a couple things going on there at the gross margin level, sorry. And can you tell us what was the year-on-year sugar price increase or your sugar costs? What were they in the fourth quarter Mexico year-on-year? And do you expect 2017 those sugar costs to be or to increase less than what we saw last year? So kind of the first question around the sugar trend. The second question is, if I do the math, the $60 to $80 million that you're talking about in synergies in 3 years for Texas puts you to a 16% EBITDA margin in that region of the United States, up from today. You've mentioned it, that it's around 13%. I mean, that would be higher than some Latin American EBITDA margin levels. And I guess, the buckets that you've talked about with ACT, you expect to execute there in Texas. But if you could talk to us about the cross-selling potential with WISE, I mean, that's going to be a very unique situation in the United States where a bottler will have own chips. What kind of point of sale kinds of synergies can we expect there? And how can you talk to us about a fountain, right, which is, we understand, not in the deal and could be essentially a competing factor in some points of sale. So sorry for the long question, but those would be the ones that I'd like to address. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Alex. How are you? Fine?
Good, thank you.
Thank you. Always a great opportunity. There are several questions. I mean, I would say that the first one is related to sugar. And as you mentioned, it has really already an increase through last year. I mean, very tough increase through the year. I will not say one quarter only. But I would say that the whole year of 2016 probably was an increase nearly 30%, let's say. Nearly, in Mexico, I'm talking about Mexico. No? But also in Peru, in other countries, even in Argentina, probably in case of Ecuador was much more less than that, because it was already high. No? So, in general, sugar prices have been increasing very rapidly and high. So when we talk in Mexico about 30%, it's a huge increase. But today it's been stabilized. I mean, we don't see, I mean, once we reach the number in this quarter, I'm talking of fourth quarter, I think that for the whole next, this year, 2017 in Mexico, we don't see a major increase in sugar prices. I mean, compared with the fourth quarter, it will be same or maybe less, depending on the exchange rate and so on. But our perception is that will be stable to the price of the fourth quarter, or again, maybe less than that. So that means that we absorb already the huge increase in the sweetness already. By the way, in the case of fructose, which we use it also in Mexico, just because of the devaluation also increased about 25-30%. So you can imagine that whatever, if it's fructose or if it's sugar, we had a huge impact on that. But we have already absorbed it, and we don't foresee any major change in that regard in for the 2017. So, unless really the exchange rate changed too much on that. But if it's in the 2021, it's about the same, okay? So that our expectative is done, I mean, feel comfortable that the prices of sugar are now high, and we think that according to the fourth quarter, and the exchange rate today and so on, will remain stable for the whole year of 2017. And furthermore, now we'll have more sugar because, integration sugar, because remember that we acquired this new facility of Plan de San Luis, which is the third sugar mill in Mexico, and it's very well operated, and there is additional production on that. So we will have more sugar at the better prices of integration. So in that regard, we are well positioned to even have a better benefit on that. And in Argentina, by the way, the sugar mill that we acquired early last year, it is important to say that the quality of that sugar that sugar mill was producing was not the right one to be used last year in our facilities. But we are investing, not too much, but we are investing, to have the sugar ready to be used by middle of this year, July also. So that will really represent that we will have integration of sugar in Argentina, and that case will be 100% integration of sugar through the second part of the year 2017, okay, through this second part of this year. So it means that the margin will be there and with refined sugar and with very low cost. And by the way, there is a tax in that normally you have when you sell to from one company to another entity. In this case, the entity, the legal entity is the same. So that tax, which cannot be credited, really will not be there. So it's about 6-7%. So the margin in general, in this sugar mill that will be ready with the quality by the second part of this year in Argentina, will be very positive for us in that country. Fully integrated, no tax involved in terms of the transaction with between legal entities because it's the same entity, Salta Refrescos is the company, and better costs. So we feel quite well supported in that regard for in that resource, and so on and so forth. So I can tell you that the impact has been already done through the last year. Now we see more stable or lower prices. So we don't see any major challenge anymore in that regard. And with more integration in Mexico and in Argentina, we will have through the year a much better position, of course. And let me just talk about synergies again in Texas. Of course, it's a mathematical number that will increase from 13 or 15.5% to 16% of EBITDA margin. If that is really better than the other countries in Latin America, well, in our case, not, because in all our countries that we have, in Argentina, we have nearly 20%. We used to have 9% 7 or 8 years ago when we acquired about 9%. But today it's in the level of 19%. So in the case of Ecuador, it used to be 16 or 15, today it's 18 or 19%. So in case of Mexico, we are talking of 22 or 23%. In case of Peru, we are talking of used to be 16, today is 20%. So we are looking for always in Latin America or trying to be in a round place, no? So to be in the mid-teens, I mean, in Mexico, you know, people can vote for a candidate when they are 18 years. So I think that it would be even better to have the age of voting in Mexico there. We're talking about 18% would be better. But at least 15, 16, it's something that we should look for, creating value. Again, with the right structure in terms of products, packaging, and certainly the right impulse to Topo Chico and Powerade and all the things that we are planning to do together with the team, the great team that we have there in the Southwest territories, and with the support of Coca-Cola. And to obviously reinforce the infrastructure and have a much more flexibility in terms of packaging in the infrastructure, in blowing and doing the right things to light whitening, all with the permission of the system, but certainly moving forward in that regard. So is that from one day to the other? No, it will take 2 or 3 years, the whole thing. But you know that we always promise and we deliver more than we promise. That's been our history, and we expect that this time we will do the same. As we have said, we are going to double the size every 5 years. We've been doubling the size of the company, profitable and sustainable every 5 years, the last 15 years. And we are planning to double the size again the next coming 5 years, because just within this year we are going to be about 100 billion pesos profitable. 100 billion. But you can imagine that just adding the Southwest territories, we will be in the level of 160 billion, around that. So just with the natural growth, we are going to be close to the 200. So with additional things that we have to do, we should surpass the 200 million. So anyways, in 5 years more, we feel that we can continue growing profitable and sustainable, creating value for all stakeholders, like in this case. I don't know if that answered the question, or you have more specific ones, Alex.
Well, look, I mean, we could talk about the fountain strategy offline, and when I referred to other Latin American bottlers, I was definitely not referring to you as the reference point. But thanks very much for the answer, and I can follow up offline.
Thank you very much. We will see you soon there. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luca Cipicia with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I wanted to ask two general ones, one maybe more on the positive side, and actually the first more on the negative side, and maybe the second more on the positive. The first one is just, with all the noise and talks that we're hearing and we're witnessing about, you know, the relationship, U.S., Mexico, NAFTA changes, trade changes, I'm just curious, what are the factors that you are monitoring more closely that could have a real impact on your business? And I ask that because a lot of companies are sort of moving beyond the sort of speculation, but really working on contingency plan, whether it's, you know, the likes of Constellation or similar, where they're actually saying, well, this could happen and this is how we are prepared. So I think in ARCA's case with the Texas transaction, is there anything you could point us to that, you know, concerns you, that you're monitoring more closely, or whether it's, you know, importing certain raw materials, whether it's certain plans that you may have had that could be put on hold? So I think that would be my first question, and then I have a follow-up as well.
Well, thank you, Luca. I appreciate your question. I could talk with you, and let me tell you that, first of all, we do not expect any impact on our process or transactions that we have. Nothing to do with what we are going to do there, because all potential benefits are specifically related to the existing Southwest operation, you know, Southwest territories of Texas. So, there is not anything that we have to combine or whatever. It's, better practices that we can combine, better knowledge. But at the end, we are going to invest more in Texas, you know, and we will create more jobs because we are going to grow. So in that regard, we feel quite comfortable that we are well aligned for any kind of potential issues there. no priority. Mm-hmm. So, on the other hand, we have a very long-term view of this market, developing all the capabilities in these territories, the one that they have plus what we are going to bring in. Regarding the business in Mexico, well, we do not export, well, I mean, what we export is to a very small amount of our business, I mean, less than 1% of our sales. So you may understand that, and this is a very value-added product, because as I mentioned to you, it has an even higher price than the competitors in that category of mineral water from source, talking about European brands. So in general, we don't see any major threat on that. And if there, I mean, I don't think that there could be one there. But in any case, it's too small for considering that a problem at all. So really, the most important thing summarizing is, well, we need to take care of what the consumption is going to develop here in Mexico. And so we have to monitor this and sense what is happening in the consumption environment. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this conference call, we have, as a country, we have positive factors and potential challenges. I hope that the positive factors like remittances or tourism or investment in other areas will be, if not enough, will really reduce the effect of any diminishing in investment from foreign investors. So, which is the most important part, no? But at this time, jobs, new jobs creating, and at this time we see a very good starting for January and February, and not only ourselves, we are doing great, but other ones are doing well in this in consumer products in Mexico. As I mentioned, we have a lack of, I mean, it's not easy to keep the people in some workers in some areas, like as I mentioned, in Pioneers or Juarez and so on, because people is, I mean, there are not enough people, you know. So training, I have to retrain and train a bit. So it's growing. So it's growing this week. So we are deciding to have a specific strategies to retain people in those areas. So rather than having a challenge in terms of jobs, in terms of reducing jobs in those areas, at this time is the opposite, you know. So we should feel concerned about the future. No, I we should be prudent, of course, and obviously be alert to what is happening. We never rest in our flowers, as we said here. We always take the right actions to be prepared. But certainly we don't see at this time any major issue in our case. And if those happens, I mean, we are going to look for anticipating those, and we have enough capabilities, resources. We don't have a debt. When we have a debt, we're in 1.2, 1.3 times, I mean, net debt on EBITDA. So we balance already in all that, most of our pesos or the currency in each country. So in general, and we are generating good cash. And most importantly, we have the support of Coca-Cola, our shareholders, and the most valuable thing, great people, great team. So we don't see any thing that we should be really concerned about. To tell you the truth, I don't want to oversell anything. I just how we think. I mean, people many people like to talk about crisis all the life. We like to always to talk about opportunities and to have the right attitude, you know.
And Patrick, if I can follow up quickly on another point. Leadership changes at the Coca-Cola company level clearly have happened, but they seem to, you know, now appear more clear in terms of the direction. We listened yesterday to, you know, James Quincy at a CAGNY conference, and, you know, clearly there is a different style or form of prioritizing, let's say, certain strategic pillars. It was emphasizing a lot the idea of, you know, a total beverage company. It seemed to be a very strong sense of urgency, you know, certain commercial initiatives that are probably going to be accelerated. I'm just curious, from your perspective, with this new U.S. adventure that is beginning, how do you feel this? How do you see these dynamics within the Coca-Cola company in helping, you know, both in terms of what they are demanding of you, what type of skills and capabilities you are bringing to the table, but also, you know, the type of agility and easiness of implementing some of this strategy, because I think a lot of the things that they're talking about now for the U.S. and for some of the other markets, you know, for different reasons, different angles, you've implemented already very well in Mexico, is wider portfolio, small packages, and so on and so forth. So I'm just curious, are you seeing that changes as well in the interaction with the Coca-Cola company now that you've planned the strategy in addition to the, you know, simple refranchising of the territory?
Well, I think that, first of all, we respect all, all what they are doing in terms of the organization, you know, its decisions and so on. And I think that they've been doing great. Doing great things to reinforce the brands and make this business to grow and really orientate to the 2020 vision. It's been great, though, this journey. And regarding the, and we congratulate that to move up and appreciate that support. Regarding James, James has been, you know, that he used to be in Latin America, by the way, at the end, before he moved to Europe, he was in charge of Mexico. So we had a strong knowledge and relationship with him, of course, and he knows very well the Latin American way of thinking and way of acting, which is more important, no? So in that regard, what he's now talking about, the total beverage company, we are there. We want to continue growing faster in still beverages and in new beverages. And definitely, and we are doing that. You know, in Mexico, we are a good example of what that can be done. As I mentioned, in our position in the different steel beverages, new beverages were number one or close, or number two was very close to number one. And that's the target. And all other categories which are not soft drinks, we are working very hard. We're talking about sweeteners, having less sugar or less sweetened in terms of calories, we are fully aligned on that. We are leading that process, by the way, not fully aligned. We are leading that process. We did that in Ecuador. We are the showcase in that case. And same thing we are doing now in Mexico together with all friends and bottlers here. So it's think that we are well aligned in developing new sweeteners, but to reduce sugar itself in the beverages, it's been a must, and we are working hard in that direction. And looking for new packages and new products, and especially moving more into transactions and value share and things like that, who has been mentioned by him and obviously previously remarked also by my mother, we are well convinced on that. You know, in all the markets that we have a high share of our position in the markets in volume, but always we have a higher shares in value and more share in profit pool. So, If you talk about the share in each of our businesses or categories, sparkling or non-sparkling in beverages, I can assure you that we have a clear leading position or close to them, that position, and value share is higher than volume share. Transaction is higher than volume shares. So we are well aligned that we need to really create value through this in market intelligence, but putting the intelligence in place through the model that we mentioned, ACT, ARCA Continental Total Execution. As I mentioned, have five different steps: execution, revenue growth management, route to market, fundamentals, innovation and the school for the sales people. So we are doing great there, and we are well aligned, and he knows very well what we have been doing since many years. And we hope that we can be a good contribution for the development, not only Latin America, but also into U.S., to develop the market and create a better market for everyone, to contribute the most that we can, of course, with all our capabilities and all our passion to move ahead.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much for that. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Julie Chariel with Bloomberg Financial.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I have two quick ones, a specific one and a more general one. Specifically, following up on the disclosures that came out yesterday on the U.S. operations, I'm wondering if you could share with us an update on the fourth quarter numbers for CCR in terms of revenue and EBITDA. Do you have those specifics for us?
Well, good to talk with you, Julie, but we cannot provide this information on this regard because we just have general figures on other things, and we have a confidential agreement. Right? So later on, we'll talk about performance and so on. In fact, you will see through the info memo that we just, put in I think it's already in the net. We released it yesterday. It's because we are going to have the shareholders meeting, the assembly, for a couple of weeks more, and then we put all this information that we can at this time provide, so we have it there, and you will probably have a good source of information in that regard. If you have further explanation in that, I mean, our people in investment relations will be more than happy to help you in that, to clarify information in that. Yeah?
Okay, that's great. Thank you. And if I could just ask you a more general question on the outlook. Wanted to get your thoughts on where you're seeing other raw materials. You talked a lot about sugar, as Alice had asked. And I'm wondering if you can talk about some of the other raw materials prices that you're looking at, packaging materials, where the outlook that you see for that in terms of kinds of inflation there. You already talked about wage inflation. Also, in that regard for your costs and how that might affect gross margins, the issue of fuel prices in Mexico, if you could touch on that and how you see that playing out in 2017, if that might be an issue, and, of course, where you see the peso over the course of the year.
Oh, yeah, I would like to, thank you, Julia. The last part was the most important thing. How will we see peso? Oh, well, that, hopefully we can give you a flavor on that. That will be a challenge. But I will ask really our, let's say, futurist, who is really the mentalist, Emilio Marcos, who can help us really in this regard, and CFO. Please, Emilio, would you please
help me? I can help you on sugar prices, but not in peso exchange rate. Hello, Julie. Nice talking to you. Regarding the raw materials in Mexico, as Pancho mentioned, high fructose prices have been really stable for the past 2 years, and we hedge all of our needs for 2017 in Mexico at the same U.S. dollar prices than last year and than basically 2015. So really the impact will be based on the exchange rate. Okay, think that the last days have been an improvement in the exchange rate here in Mexico, so in very good levels. So that's regarding high fructose. Regarding sugar, also Pancho mentioned that the current prices of sugar are the highest prices that we had last year, which were the fourth quarter of last year. So we don't expect any increase in sugar. In fact, they may go down a little bit by the end of the year.
Close integration. Yeah.
That's right. With the sugar mill that Piazza acquired last year. That's regarding Mexico. In Peru, we hedge already some sugar prices for this year at a lower price than fourth quarter of last year. And we are looking for opportunities to increase that hedge. We have hedged around 25% of our needs of 2017, at a lower price than fourth quarter last year. And in Argentina, as also Pancho mentioned, that with the integration of, or it's not a hedge, but it's the integration of our own sugar mill, that we will be basically having very stable and better cost structure the second half of this year, because sugar prices in Argentina are expected to increase this year. But with the integration, we really think that we'll have a very stable cost structure. Regarding prices, I will ask Arturo to help us on price strategy for each country.
Sure. As you know, we have increased prices above inflation in 2016, at a rate of above 4% for the year. And for this year, the same thing. We're expecting to increase prices in the mid-single digits. I would say that even with a wider margin as compared to inflation for the year, to make sure that we maintain profitability for the company. One very important thing about pricing is our ratio for discounts. This ratio is around 3.5% at this point, but it's important to note that we've been improving that number throughout the last years. We used to be at around 5% about 3 years ago. So we've become more effective, not only in our segmentation and revenue management for pricing, but also in our efforts in the market to be more effective in terms of discounts. And that way we can keep on increasing prices net above inflation.
Right. Huh? And we are moving well this year, no? Already.
Yes, that's especially correct. As Pancho mentioned, we increased again this February and last November as well. So
we will compensate any impact on this regard. Hopefully there will be no further increases in the raw materials. At least we don't foresee that, on the contrary. Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Garza Egloff for closing remarks.
Thank you, President. Well, thanks to all of you for participating in this conference call and for always supporting our company and for your trust. We look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thank you and have a very good day. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, this concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.